take your seats.
27th of October.
Well, good morning. I was saying to Becky, it's over 40 years since I was last in this church. I was curate at St Mary's Bromley in the late 70s under Peter Henwood, who I think some of you will remember. He got an even louder voice than I have. May the words of my lips and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Now, there's been some confusion about which set of readings we should be using today. This is because the Church of England has provided two. One for the 19th Sunday after Trinity, from which that gospel reading came, and the other set for those churches that are keeping today as Bible Sunday. Now, I'm not going to apologise for this confusion, as it has forced me to think again, and I hope will encourage you to think about the way we use our Bibles. When God took on human form in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, he lived and understood and communicated with his contemporaries. And what a great communicator Jesus was, with a phenomenal ability to put over really quite difficult concepts in a way that all of his hearers could understand. But the word of God in Scripture is a living word. God still speaks to us through that word today, albeit 2,000 years on. And of course, society changes. If Jesus were to tell that story we have heard today, there's no way he would talk about a Pharisee and a tax collector, because characters like that no longer exist. Sure, he would tell the story, but using characters that we can recognise. So, who were the Pharisees? Who were the tax collectors? And what sort of characters might Jesus choose if he were telling that story today? Let's start with the Pharisees. The Gospels refer to two very different Jewish sects, Pharisees and Sadducees. Of the two, the Sadducees were far more resistant to change than were the Pharisees. Thus we read in Matthew 22, verse 23, of the Sadducees who say there is no resurrection. Whereas the Pharisees were beginning to develop some sort of understanding of some sort of life beyond this. Furthermore, in many respects, the Sadducees were far more rigorous about legal matters than the Pharisees. But I guess that the main difference was social. The Sadducees were associated with the upper class and were seen as being quite aloof. The Pharisees, on the other hand, were respected by the common people. They were seen as good and holy people who could be trusted. So when Jesus speaks of the Pharisees, he is not talking about people who would normally be seen as hypocrites. That picture has come to us through later interpretation. I let the bell ring. while I apologise for sitting and explain for those of you who don't know that I had major spinal surgery which led to early retirement 5 years ago, and so I have to sit. Is that bell finished yet? Yeah. See what it actually chimes. I bet it chimes 12. Anyone counting? Let's get back to those Pharisees. So, I'm going to suggest that they weren't seen as hypocrites at the time. That's a picture we have through later interpretation. That would include some of the authors of the New Testament who were writing their books after the fall of the Jerusalem temple at a time of quite serious tensions between Jews and Christians. Then we have pictures often influenced by Renaissance artists, paintings which show Jews in a horrendous light, reflecting the anti-Semitic thinking of their times. And finally, I think that because this passage is so well known, we have adopted the idea of the Pharisee as the archetypal hypocrite, and in the process, we have lost the whole point of what Jesus is trying to say. The Pharisees were basically trusted, respected, and seen as people of great faith. Let's now look at the tax collectors. Now, no one likes having to pay tax. But we accept the necessity of doing so and, for the most part, find that our dealings with HMRC are reasonable, that the staff are fair, and indeed often are quite helpful. However, tax affairs in first century Palestine under Roman occupation were completely different. The tax collectors, known as publicans, were hated by the Jews. They were seen as collaborators with the occupying Roman force. And the whole business had become a sort of franchise operation. Tax farmers, it was in their interest to maximise their income by lying and cheating and bullying. They weren't the nice, cuddly, Arthur Daly sort of character. They were the most despised people in the eyes of Jesus' audience of everyday Jews. Now we have to reintroduce these characters into the story that Jesus tells and paraphrase it somewhat for our times. And I make no apology for doing this. The whole business of God coming into the world in the person of Jesus is that he speaks to his audience using the language, the culture, the images, the ideas of his time. That was part of his genius. If he turned up today in 21st century England, he wouldn't talk about tax collectors and Pharisees. Rather, he would use characters that we can readily identify. And perhaps it might go something like this. Two people come into church to pray. The first is a kind, gentle, much respected regular worshipper. He doesn't make a fuss of it, but his giving to church and to charities is extremely generous. Furthermore, he tries to practice his faith in both his personal morality, which is seen as exemplary, and in his devotions, both in his daily prayer at home and in his regular attendance at church on Sundays. A As he waits for the service to begin, he reflects on the past week, which he feels has gone well, leaving him with few regrets. He is concerned, however, about that woman who has dashed into church just as the service is starting. He's seen her before. She had one of her children christened here a few months ago. Of course, there had been no father present. She probably doesn't even know who it is. He also knows that she's doing community service for drug offences. Just what is she doing here in church? The woman, meanwhile, is in a complete mess. She's not really certain why she came here this morning. She's not even certain that she's actually allowed to come. Certainly she's getting a funny look from that bloke over there. But she has been here before. She's been here to get each of her kids done to keep her gran happy. Oh, she'd also come to the Christingle service last Christmas because a friend of her eldest and her family from over the road were coming. And each time she had come to church, she'd felt a sense of something welcoming her, something from out there. Somehow she felt accepted despite her chaotic life. I mean, she doesn't know what to say or do. She's been given two books, three pieces of paper, and she can hardly read anyway. But she'll sit at the back, just hoping that once again she'll get that feeling that something or somebody out there does care for her, despite the mess that she knows she's making of her life. I can't be certain, but I think that was the sort of impact that Jesus was intending to make on his audience. And I tell you, this woman went down to her house justified rather than the man, for everyone who exalts themselves will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.